I would like to give you the definition for a testimony. It says that it is first-hand evidence through personal knowledge. Another definition is an eyewitness or a public declaration of a religious experience. That's all called testimony. So what I want to give to you is a testimony of how God has led me in my life. I don't want you to be focused on this person. I want to glorify God in what He has done in my life. My family, to start off with, I was born and raised in the Church of God, but my family did not really practice all of the teachings of the Church of God. And from a child, I would listen to the preached word, and I knew it, even as a little girl. And I would say to myself, when I grow up, I want to be a saint all the way. And so that was just something that God planted in my heart, even as a little girl. We did not trust the Lord as what we have heard here today in our family. We went to the doctors and we took our medicines. And so I did not have a strong foundation. I had a head knowledge of what it meant to trust the Lord, but I did not have the foundation to do that. I had a heart that was tender towards the Lord from a little girl, and I probably went to the altar more than anyone else. But I was never able to really get established, not until I was 31. And I got saved at the Monarch meeting that year, actually at the Guthrie meeting. Our two oldest daughters had gotten saved. We taught our girls what it was to be saved by saying, "Lauren and I weren't." We didn't want them to be confused about the truth. So at the Guthrie meeting, both of our two older daughters went to the altar. They were 11 and 12. I remember standing there, holding on to the seat and weeping because my little girls wanted to live for the Lord and I wasn't. And the Lord used that to really deal with my heart. And at the Monarch meeting, I got saved, never to give up again. And I'm not going to go into all of the details because of the sake of time this evening. But from that point, God began to teach me and lead me. And He began to lay a foundation in my life that I could trust the Lord for myself. It was about 4 years after I had gotten saved, and that's in September of that year. We had a car wreck. We were hit on by a drunk driver, and our daughter and Colleen Meek were both killed, and I was driving, and I survived. And I had many injuries. Of course, they picked me up. I'm unconscious. They take me to the hospital. They work on me all night. I'm in the hospital for 2 weeks and had many injuries that took many months to really recover from. One of those injuries was my left arm was broken between the elbow and the shoulder, and the bones were overlapped. They probably would have done surgery, but I had a lung injury that would not permit an anesthetic. And so they put a weight on my cast to pull the bones apart, and they pulled the bones apart too far. The bones were separated by more than an inch, and the bones were healing on both ends and would not come together. They finally took the cast off, just put a clamp on, They kept saying, surgery is the only thing that you have left. And during this process of this time, I wanted to trust the Lord. And the saints were fasting and praying for my arm to be healed. I went to several doctors trying to get somebody just to put a cast on my arm, and nobody would. And the answer was always surgery. So we went for counsel, and I don't want anyone to ever judge those that gave the counsel, because it was right for me under the circumstances. I did not have a foundation. And both of those things has been brought out by Brother Dan and Brother Doug. That you don't wait until you're in the storm and start laying a foundation. But there is more than just that. So the counsel was, you have the surgery and you deal with God about it afterwards. If you feel like that you failed, you deal with God. So I went and had the surgery, had a plate put in my arm and a bone graft. And when it was over, I felt like I had failed God. Yet I felt like that I had faith. And the enemy was trying to say, God failed. You didn't fail, God failed. Well, we know that God cannot fail. So the failure has to be on my part. And I didn't have the peace that I once had. I didn't give up the Lord. I just didn't feel the peace. About 2 months later, circumstances were such that I was at home alone, and I was opening my Bible. I opened it to 116th Psalms. And the Lord caused me to open to that scripture. And all the way through there, it said, I will. And those words, I will, stood out to me. I will take the cup of salvation. I will pay my vows. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. And as I read that, the Lord spoke to me. And he said, you can have salvation if you will. I got down before the Lord and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I feel like I failed. I don't understand it, but I'm asking you to forgive me. And the joy and the peace of the Lord came back into my heart and my life. And I was once more felt the favor of the Lord. I went on and in August after that, we went to the Boley meeting. And let me also say here, I did not hide the fact that I had the surgery. I believe that God works with honesty.
Yes, amen.
But he cannot work when we're trying to hide something in our life. And he cannot work with dishonesty. But some way, Sister Catherine, whether she knew it or not, she told about our wreck and that God healed my arm. And it was like a slap in my face. And I cried out to the Lord in my heart, sitting right there. I said, Lord, I cannot take another step for you until I know why you didn't heal my arm. As we drove back home, I said those same words over and over. And in my mind, I was determined to fast until the Lord showed me. And I thought I would have to fast 3 weeks. Well, I know I couldn't have, and God knows that too. The next morning, I got him off to work, went in and got down by my bed, started my fast. And I said those same words, Lord, I cannot take another step for you until I know why you did not heal my arm. God spoke to me like a man. So much so, I turned around and sat on the floor. It was almost like God was right there. He said, I could not heal you. And I turned around and I said, well, Lord, why could you not heal me? And he said, because you would have taken pride in that kind of healing. I'm speaking that I did not have the foundation of divine healing in my life. I had a head knowledge. And then the Lord spoke to me and he said, if I would have, he said, you would have taken pride. And he said, if you, I could never have dealt with you about anything in your life again because you would have thought yourself so holy. And as soon as he said it, I knew it was true. And I often hate to say what I know I thought. But while the saints were praying and my arm was in the condition that it was, and I'm embarrassed to say this, but it proves the fact that I would have taken pride in it. I said to myself, when I am in the camp meeting and I raise that arm in song, the camp is going to shout. And that's pride. And the Lord also spoke to me and he said, had I healed you in spite of your pride, you would have been like the most unpopular boy becoming class president. You wouldn't know how to handle it. And I knew it was all true. And then the Lord spoke to me and he said, I'm going to give you something to trust me for. And it was a number of months later, an affliction came on my body, and as soon as I started getting sick, I realized it was the Lord giving me something to trust him for and to build a foundation that I could always trust him. I had Lauren bring me a piece of paper. My family had, anytime I was sick, they would put pressure on me to go to the doctors. And I wrote out what my desire was to completely trust the Lord. I didn't want him to have to be under that kind of pressure. My parents did call the doctor. They said, the doctor said, get her to the hospital and get her there right now. We called Brother Ed and Sister Roberta. They were here in Oklahoma City at that time. His parents were here. They didn't know I was as bad as I was. But I was at death's door by that point. I was having trouble breathing. And they came. And when they anointed me and prayed for me, the Lord stopped the progression right then. And I began to come back. It took me 6 weeks to come out of that sickness. But the Lord proved himself to me, and I now had my foundation. And I have trusted in the Lord from that time to this day. And the Lord has proven himself over and over and over. He has healed me numerous times. I have been at death's door at least 3 times. And God has raised me up. Now I know he's going to let me go sometime. But God has been very faithful. And he's taught me how to trust in him and to not be afraid. I am not afraid to trust the Lord. He is a wonderful physician. He is my physician. Thank the Lord. I want to continue a little bit with my testimony. A few years later, the Lord called me to the ministry. And after I had been in the ministry a few years, then I was ordained at the Monarch meeting along with 4 other ministers. And there's never been an ordination service like that one before or since. And I'm glad that I was a part of a very unique ordination service. We each one made vows. The mic was passed down. I happened to be number 5 in the list of ministers sitting on the altar. And I had that much time to consider, am I going to say amen, or I'm going to say, no, I cannot vow to this. One of those vows was that if we turn to the arm of flesh as a minister, that we would willingly give up our ministers, our ministries. I considered it in that little length of time, and I willingly took that vow. When it came my turn, I said, amen. I want to testify how that vow kept me, for I took another serious illness after that, sometime after that. I should have died. I was not checked. I presumed that it was a kidney infection that went into my blood. I was very high fever, between 104, 105. I was a very sick person. My family began to put pressure on me to just go and have a test run. At first I said I would do it from my house, and they wouldn't do it that way. The doctor said, no, we have to have sterile conditions. And so finally I gave in to my sister's doctor. She was going to take me to Guthrie. The appointment moved up similar to this. I was to go in like at 11 o'clock. And as soon as I made the appointment, I thought, you know, I haven't called the ministers to get counsel on this. The phone rings. Bring her in at 10 o'clock. We just had a cancellation. I'm just thinking again, I need to call the ministers, and the phone rings again and says, bring her in right now, we have a cancellation. It just moved up that fast. So we're driving to Guthrie, and all the way to Guthrie, I'm thinking of my vow. No, I wouldn't have taken any medicine, because that was my choice. It was my convictions. And all I could think of was that it could be said that Maxine went to the doctor. Now, I felt like that was in violation of my vow. We get up there, we turn the corner to go to the office, and I said to my sister, I said, I can't do it. I said, I've got to keep my ministry clean. And she said, well, let me go and cancel it. They sent a lady out, didn't know me, had never met me. She came out to the car and she said, oh, we are so impressed with your faith. But God can work with doctors too. And I told her the same thing. I said, I have to keep my ministry clean. And so they finally let me go. On the way home, my fever broke for the first time. I believe it was the Lord showing his approval of my choice. I was still a very sick person. I was sick for a number of weeks. Actually, I had a problem for a year, but not to that point that I was sick. But God brought me completely out and healed me, and he proved himself to me over and over. So I want to say that God is still the same today. For your generation, he will be the same.
Yes, thank the Lord.
He will not fail you. If you will give him your whole heart, young people and old alike, I cannot stress it enough. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
You need to be sanctified holy. I want to tell you, there is the secret to divine healing. It takes away the fear. And as Brother Doug said, there's things that can hinder divine healing.
Yes.
Doubts and fears are enemies to healing. You cannot receive it if you do not believe it. God is able to to heal. He suffered. Jesus suffered stripes for the healing of our bodies. There is a song that came to me, and I didn't know if Robert was able to find it. I think most everyone knows it, but I would like for us to sing the song, I Still Trust You. And I want you to focus maybe into the second verse. This is what it says. I love trusting you. You know what? If you love it, it's not hard.
That's right.
If you love the Lord with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, it's not hard serving Him. It's not hard to trust Him. It's not hard to say, live or die. I've been there where it was, I had to pray that way. Lord, live or die. I am the Lord's. You come to that place. You get out of the cage of fear and doubt. But this song says, focus on that. I love trusting you. If you're here today and trusting in the Lord is a hard thing, seek the Lord to fill you with His Spirit and to fill you with His love and to cause you to have a love for the truth and a love for divine healing and a love. And I want to tell you something. It's not a bandwagon. And it's not what people think. It's because God gave us this. I remember another time when I was very sick. And my sister again called me. She said, I want to know why will you not go to the doctor? My answer was this. I want to go to heaven real bad. I just don't want anything to hinder me. She says, I'll stand by you. But if you would have said it would be because of what the people would think, I wouldn't stand by you. I want to tell you, it's not what the people think. It's my heartfelt conviction. And God, that relationship, and He's proved Himself over and over. Did you know you have to go through some hard things in order for Him to prove Himself to you? But oh, what was brought out is the glory, the blessings. They're so rich. He says He'll bring you and me out into a wealthy place. And this is one of those places. And I'm looking across here today, and I know that there has been some divine healings in a number of people right here. Either God intervened and spared your life and healed your body. Would you trade the experience? Would you say, I wish I had never gone through that? I think I'm going to put Leon on the spot. Leon, do you wish you'd have never gone through that experience? You don't?
No, I went through it.
You're glad you went through it? Did you know that the scripture says that all things work together for good?
Yes.
I can testify that every experience that I've had in divine healing has worked for my good.
Yes.
It has worked for me spiritually. Every one. Now let's sing this song. I still trust you, Lord. Think about the words of this song.
I've seen the righteous man suffer pain, look like the wicked would go free, and in my frustration it just didn't seem right to me. I pray for peace.
Young people, you requested this. Maybe it wasn't exactly what you thought it would be. Maybe you thought that we would just stand up here and just give you a whole bunch of scriptures about trusting in the Lord or divine healing. But I really believe that you've been given something that's balanced. For you to learn how to put yourself in that trust department, like Brother Dan brought out, and then apply all of the scriptures that Brother Doug gave, put those two together, and then to hear a testimony that is true. My testimony is true. I've experienced it. Maybe you feel you're young. Maybe you feel like you need your own foundation. You know, our parents can build on a foundation. Our parents can teach us. You've been blessed. I think all of you have been blessed to have parents that have trusted in the Lord. But you're going to have your own foundation.
Yes, amen.
And I think this is the secret. Start building now before the storm comes.
Yes.
Build on the rock. Read the word. Believe the word.
Yes.
Put your hand in his hand. Trust him. He will be faithful. He will be true to you. Don't be afraid. I remember one time, a number of years ago, and I'm not going to go into the whole details, but I was praying one day and the Lord spoke this to me. Put these words in my mouth. Lord, I want you to try me. And as soon as those words came out of my mouth, it was as though the Lord stepped back and said, now what are you going to do with those words? Are you going to not want to let me try you, or are you going to let me try you? I knew that the Lord would be very pleased if I would be willing to say, Lord, I want you to try me. And I began to pray that way just about every time I prayed. I'd say, Lord, I want you to try me. And I knew I was asking for something hard. Don't be afraid to ask for something hard. The harder the trial, the greater the blessing.
Yes.
The Lord took me through something, and when it started, I thought, oh, I can bear this. This won't last too long. Well, it lasted 3 years, and I was put to the supreme test, but I came out, and I want to tell you, I wouldn't trade the experience. The Lord taught me some things he could not have taught me any other way. Everything that God allows in your life, he has a reason for eternity. Let's all be encouraged. Don't be afraid to trust the Lord. Amen.